Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the execution of Private Eddie Slovic, who was the last American to be executed for desertion. And that happened back in 1945, toward the end of the Second World War. We're going to talk about Eddie and his story, but before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, to my left by the very lovely, the very talented, the Queen Amin, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret.
What?
Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm very, very pumped up. I'm going to Chicago this weekend.
I'm covering
for you, so I know.
I am. I'm going to a music festival in Chicago. So, any friends in Chicago?
Well, hold on, what music festival?
I'm not sure where.
You should have told me. It's probably the one Twin Peaks is playing. I could have got your backstage passes.
It's Linda Loveless.
It's Linda.
Lydia.
Lydia.
It's the Pitchfork Festival.
Lydia Loveless. It plays there, but it might
it's
be.
A Pitchfork Festival.
It's a whole. Yeah, it's a whole festival. It's not just her. We're going to have to see her specifically.
Twin Peaks. My boy's in a band, you know that, and his best friend, Cadian, their band is headlining.
Well, give me free tickets then.
Well, shit, you should have told me. You don't ever tell anybody what you're doing. You sneak around like you're in the CIA and whatnot.
I'm a man of mystery.
You are?
Yeah.
You're like Austin Powers.
Well, I'm just telling 10,000 people what I'm doing this weekend.
He is like Austin Powers.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. He's out there shagging and whatnot.
Shagging. Yeah, they shag a lot over there in England, don't they?
They do.
I just read where it's really a good time to go to England because the prices are so low because of the Brexit. And but I heard they really give you a hard time at immigration over there. They won't let you wait. You can't have layovers. You can't
wait for,
yeah, Kate was telling me, one of our coworkers was telling me she went over there, and the immigration over there is really tough. So to all of our British folks, I would come visit you, but you know how I get pulled. You know, I get the third degree when I go to Mexico. So you guys are probably going
to
love me.
We can't even go over to Britain now.
You probably can, but you know what gets me in trouble is I got all these third world countries on my stamped on my passport, and I get pulled out of line every time. But Kate does. I mean, Kate doesn't, you know, she doesn't go to third world countries, and they gave her a hard time. She was there with her family, so I don't know. I just had, my ex worked in England for a while, and she had, she got messed up with their tax system over there, and it was a mess to kind of straighten out. So it sounds like their bureaucracy is sort of like here in the U.S. So even though I'd love to go to England, I don't want no hassle. So so to all of our English friends, I would love to see you, but I think I'm going to go to Paris instead. But anyway, I'm going to Chicago.
Dick.
For this music festival this weekend, so I'm pumped about that. But what are you doing this weekend, Brandy?
Let's see. I may go fishing. think I'm going to ride in a, I think I'm going to take Noah for a ride in a...
train.
Go-kart.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm done with trains for a little while. We've done that. Noah wants to go out of town.
Does he?
Yes. Now, to him, out of town is up the street, so...
Around the block.
And my hope, actually, is that my mother-in-law will take him for a little while to the park, and then I can watch Deadpool or something like that.
Oh, Deadpool's good.
I haven't seen it yet. I have the frickin' movie.
Yeah, it's good.
It's very funny.
Let me introduce also the very distinguished and honorable, the man of God.
What?
Man of Jesus.
Really?
He's an ordained minister.
You're going to get hit.
I got my own church.
You're going to get hit by a car again. I'm ordained too.
You don't have your own church.
I don't get that.
You ain't not saving souls.
She's a
please.
I'm
a street preacher.
She belongs to the dark side.
You had a different church where they're burning candles on the pentagram and all that.
Raping virgins.
Then don't you think you better shut your pie hole before I do something?
Good will always conquer evil, girl. And the truth shall set you free.
Yeah, that's not true. That's bullshit.
Well, but in fairness to, to give Brandy some equal time, hell, Satan.
Timmy's going to get hit by a car again. Leaving work.
You know, I think...
Jesus Louise.
I would never want to get hit by a car again. That was not a pleasant experience.
But that's what's going to happen. You keep yepping, and...
No, I love God. And a man here is... I'm always in the presence of a man of God, and that's the very honorable... the Reverend Sir... Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III.
Jesus God.
Affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I could not be better today, Timmy.
I wish you were going to Chicago this weekend.
You told me I would have gone up there with you. I don't even know. Far, I know Taylor's band might be playing in today.
I would love to see him.
Yeah.
Well, find out for me. Can you find out?
I'll find out. But I know Twin Peaks, his best friend, is headlining the show. And see him, you'll see Cadian singing, and he has my boots.
Oh, okay.
He was at the house. I gave the boy a pair of boots, and he has loved the
now,
boots.
Now, do you know what night they play?
I do not.
Okay, because I think we're just going Saturday. We're going Friday night.
I think it's Saturday night.
We're going to a blues club on Friday night, and then we're going.
What club?
I'm not sure. I wanted to go to Legends, the Buddy Guys.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another club at the guy I'm going with, Ted. He wants to see this other guy play. So
could be going to Shuba's.
I don't know. I don't know the name of it, but I'll let you know. But if you,
it's like I live in Chicago.
You're very familiar with the city. So if you, the district, ain't that what they call that area up there? The district. It's near Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gary, Indiana.
You want to be careful when you get between that nether. That it's that little taint area between Gary, Indiana, and Chicago.
Right by the casino.
The
casino.
Very careful. They got a lot of gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah.
You want to go straight in.
I frequent gentlemen's club because I'm a gentleman.
You are a gentleman.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have an officer for you.
I'm not an officer. Yeah, right. Nor a scholar anymore. Colonel.
Or a scholar.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any shout-outs?
I do have some shout-outs today.
Well, why don't you please give us some?
How about we start with Sydney and Mike? Keep us updated on what that dog's doing, Mike. We would love to know.
Michael out there in Los Angeles.
Sydney, let us know. Sydney's wanting to put a band back together. We're friends on Facebook.
Okay.
So I follow a page.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a avant-garde rocker, punk rocker.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
We've been kind of called the avant-garde of podcasters.
Yes, we have, Tim.
Yeah.
I believe we have.
If Velvet Underground was still around, we'd be kind of hanging out with Andy Warhol.
Yeah, Lou.
Yeah.
Doing some smack with Lou.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can do smack. I was uninterested until then.
Yeah, you kind of peeked at your... You put your candy crush on pause when heroin was mentioned.
We all have our thing.
Well, and then we got Tiffany Bell. Now, Tiffany is an interesting one because she...
very lovely lady.
Very lovely. She up in Michigan and goes over to South Haven quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the fireworks were canceled in South Haven. They have a big display every year. Because there was too many drunken brawls. And my guess is
She was in the middle of
Ms.
it?
Ms. Bell was in the middle of that one.
Okay.
So,
we might see her on lockup or something.
I know, locked up abroad.
Yeah.
So, of course, we got Kim Taylor, the redheaded devil.
Lovely Kim Taylor down there in Kentucky.
And Beaver Creek.
Beaver Creek.
She's down in Petticoat Junction, Kentucky.
You think she, you think if she takes a bath in those water towers or goes swimming in the water towers outside of town like they did in Petticoat Junction?
She lucky as hell though. She works in a sporting goods store.
That's a cool job.
Yeah, that's a sweet job. Sweet gig. Of course, we got Cindy Lou.
Yes, Cindy Lou.
Cindy Lou Laryngitis.
I don't think that's her last name, but
it's pretty close.
Yeah.
One that
you're
I
really mean, bad for picking on me for pronouncing names. You're pretty bad with them. What was Sarah Spaghetti?
I know he can't. He's lucky to say his own name.
Well, she's coming up. We got now. We got one, and this one really. I'm so proud.
List?
If you'd quit interrupting me, Devil.
Oh my God.
John Holmes. I'd like to give a shout out to John Holmes. I've been a big fan of yours for many years.
I don't think it's the same John Holmes. I don't think you're talking about the porn John Holmes, porn star.
Okay, so this is not him?
I don't think so. I think he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
He's dead.
John, we'll give you a shout out.
He had a big wiener.
Yeah, we'll give him a shout out.
I'm sure he has a big wiener.
I'm certain he does.
Not anymore, it's sure he does.
No, I'm talking about R. John. I'm sure
R. John, yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Elise, of course. Give us a shout out to her, and as we mentioned, Sarah Spaghetti.
Yeah,
we like to. She told us how to say her real name properly, and that was just kind of dumb.
Yep, Scott got it. You didn't.
Scott's lying. Scott's like I sounded. Scotty J, the Lone Wolf, will give you a shout out, but you was lying on that one. Laura O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. Big Laura O.
Big
Laura.
Laura.
She's not big.
She's not big. I meant to put Laura the big O. Laura the big O.
Yes, because she's the only big O that you know.
The only big
and
O.
And probably ever will.
Bridget Clavey.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her. Now you know, and a lot of people, Timmy, they were friends with them on Facebook. You follow, you see their posts and whatnot. And we got Trish Hillard, who I seen on a Facebook post yesterday. She lost a close friend.
He's a real creeper, isn't he?
I'm serious about this. She lost a close friend.
Okay.
So our condolences to her.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Sorry, Trisha.
And I seen that posted, so it was, must have been somebody she went to high school with or something. Somebody you know a long time.
Yeah.
So our condolences, Trish, and good luck to Trish. She is training for a triathlon.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Very athletic.
No, I think the triathlon for her is the water part's going to the bathtub, the running part's going to the refrigerator, and the bike part's
just driving
the car.
Can you spell triathlon?
T-R-I.
It's not that hard, Devil. Give me a tough one. Roger Blackburn, we'd like to give you a shout-out. And
Roger.
We missed your birthday, Roger. We got it on the page, but...
yeah, happy belated birthday to Roger.
Erica, one to you.
Absolutely.
Ms. Banks, one to you.
Tasha
Banks. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a special shout-out. I don't know if she listens to our show or not. I hope she does.
If she doesn't, it's really a waste of time.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. But I'm going to keep giving a shout-out and putting hashtags, and maybe the woman will respond. Because, the Colonel reached a certain level of celebrity here, Tim.
You have?
Me and Leonardo. And
your avant-garde.
Matt Damon, Yeah. So I'm going to give a shout-out to Dolores O'Riordan.
Okay.
Dolores O'Riordan was the lead singer of the Cranberries.
Okay.
And my next wife.
I got that Cranberry song. It's still in my head.
Never seen.
Zombies.
Sings like an angel, and she's just as beautiful as anybody you're ever going to see. So, Dolores, if you're out there and you're listening, and she's Irish, yeah, that makes a meme, but if you're listening, get in touch with the Colonel.
Some of them Irish women are hot. That woman that Jim Carrey's girlfriend that committed suicide. She's very cute.
I would be depressed if my girlfriend committed suicide.
Well, she would be depressed if you were. She was your girlfriend.
Well, that would do it. But yeah, so that's what I have right now. So yeah, Dolores, if you're listening, hashtag get with the Colonel.
Yes. Okay. Also, Colonel, you have to give a shout out to my mom.
And well, I got more shout outs to go.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Oh, my God. I told you.
Lady Beverly. Told you. And my lovely, lovely, lovely Dottie Scott.
Thank you.
Who, what is today?
Her birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Actually. Yeah, the 8th.
So I don't know when we're going to drop this one down, but.
Yeah, it probably will be probably tomorrow. So if you're listening to Mom, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dottie.
Brandy, any shout-outs?
You know.
Someone left that should give a shout-out, too.
Linda Middleton.
Linda is very active on the page, and we appreciate that.
Always appreciate her. And M, again, M Waterfall.
And I want to say M. I've got a special shout-out, not for
you
M.
You know what? I know, but I don't think she took your blasphemous Britain text to heart and got pissy. I think she just likes to rip on us about thinking that we're going to have Donald Trump as president.
Yeah.
Which, again, I said yesterday, and I will say again, it's hurtful and really a low, low blow.
Yeah, but she's kind of right.
I will choose not to think that.
But M, anyway. M has a lovely grandmother named Barbara, and I just wanted to give a special shout out to
Barbara.
Babs.
No. Babs. I think her grandmother, her name is Barbara. They may have wrote that song Barbara Allen about her.
I believe they wrote, the Beach Boys, didn't they write a song Barbara Ann about her?
Barbara Ann. I don't know what her middle name is. But Barbara, if you're listening, hello from the United States. Thank you for listening, Barbara. And M, you have a lovely granddaughter, and she's a very loyal listener of ours, and we really love having her on our Facebook page and interacting with her. So hi from the side of the world. Also, thank you to, as always, to Alicia and Chip for their generous support of the show on Patreon. And if you would like to support the program, just go to Patreon.com/HistoryDweebs. We're there. And we appreciate your support. I think it's all the shout-outs I have.
And that PBS says that PBS is brought to you by...
Yeah, you know, we should have phones ringing in the background, Oh, yet another one on the line. Okay, no, just seriously.
Today's show is brought to you by...
You're talking about your fuzzy balls.
The sweaty balls.
The sweaty balls.
Okay, no, but seriously, if you would like to contribute, all donations are appreciated, but... If you don't want to, that's fine as well. We don't care.
We would take used clothing.
We take used clothing.
Canned goods. Yeah. We're gonna have a History Dweebs hunger drive.
You could sign over your automobile to us.
Yeah. You could put us property. In your estate if you something could, happens you to could. You. Put us in your will.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the execution of Private Eddie Slovak, shall we? Since it is the topic of today's podcast.
Sure. We're
40 minutes into this thing. Okay, the execution of Private Eddie Slovak. Edward Donald, better known as Eddie Slovak, was, you know, when I think of Eddie, I think of that skier in England, Eric the Eagle.
Eddie the Eagle.
It was just a movie about him.
Yeah, I always think about him. Anyway, Edward Donald Eddie Slovak was a United States soldier during World War II, and he was the only American soldier to be court-martialed and executed for desertion since the American Civil War. So, although over 21,000 American soldiers were given varying sentences for desertion, found guilty and given sentences for desertion during World War II, including 49 who were given death sentences, 48 of them were eventually commuted. The only one to actually the death sentence was carried out on was, unfortunately, was for Eddie Slovak. He was the only one who would actually be shot for desertion during World War II. Eddie was born in Detroit, Michigan, to a Polish-American family, which means I'm going to screw up a lot of names here real quick.
Perfect.
The son of Anna and Joseph Slovosky. So they shortened the name to Slovak. Eddie had a good relationship with his parents growing up, but they became concerned when he started hanging out with the wrong crowd as a young boy. And Charles, I'm sure you had a diverse group that you hung out with, and they weren't all choir boys.
There wasn't all choir boys, but you know what? You know what I found later on in life, Timmy, is that many of those same men right now have come to the Church of the Cardinal.
Yeah, they've converted.
We've turned them around.
Mm-hmm. We got by the grace of God,
straight and narrow. They're going back to school. They're taking care of their kids.
Mm-hmm. Learning a trade.
And you know what's going to happen to them? They get shot down the street.
Probably so.
Because everybody you ever see gets shot down the street, they say, oh, they was getting their lives turned around.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, I'm just setting them up to be killed.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
I've got a lot of relatives who are always in the process of getting back on their feet. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But I've got one cousin. I got one cousin who's been trying to get on his feet for about 45 years.
Well, everybody's got that cousin.
So anyway, Eddie Slovak. As a miner, Eddie was arrested frequently.
A coal miner?
Yeah, a coal miner. Mostly for minor things, such as shoplifting. Him and some friends broke into a foundry and stole some brass. When he was 12 years old. Between 1932 and 1937, he got arrested several times for petty theft, breaking and entering, and disturbing the peace. So, you know, not real serious stuff, but enough to get him in trouble as a juvenile. In October 1937, he was sentenced to prison for breaking and entering, and he was paroled in 1938. So he would have been... just around 18 or so at the time. After stealing and crashing a car with two friends while drinking, he was sent back to prison in January of 1939. So he's getting in trouble for really stupid stuff. But, you know, not hurting anyone, nothing violent or anything like that. Although his parents were poor, they stuck by Eddie. They visited him in prison and sent him money when they could. And, you know, this was in the 30s, so it was in the heart of, you know, the height of the Great Depression. So, Eddie actually was in a better place, than with his, you know, he was having an easier time of it than his parents in a lot of cases because he was at least eating, in meals and stuff. And his parents were dealing with the depression, but they visited him when they could and they sent him what they could. At the end of 1941, of course, what happened, Colonel?
The end of 1941?
December 7th.
On my birthday, and Vito Corleone's birthday.
Yeah.
If you watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor.
They did on December 7, 1941.
It was a sneaky-ass move.
The United States declared war on Japan, the Empire of Japan, and Germany and Italy declared war on the United States. So the United States,
why Germany have to get all nasty about it and declare war on us when we declare war on the Japanese? I thought that was a little rude.
Well, here's a little...
Go on, call for.
Here's a little unknown fact. And, well, I won't ask it as a question because I've already mentioned it, but... the United States is the only country that Germany declared war on in World War II.
Yeah, they did not declare war on England.
Nope.
Did not declare war on France.
Nope.
But they declared war on us.
Yeah.
They was biting off more than they could chew on that one, Timmy.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, in April of 1942, Eddie, who was in the joint, was paroled once more. And he obtained a job at the Montella Plumbing and Heating Company in Dearborn, Michigan. Of course, I know you've got a lot. You go to Michigan every year.
I go to Michigan every year. I'm not going down to South Haven, though, because that Tiffany Bell just breaking up bars and
beating
up people.
Yeah, but it was nice of Montella Plumbing and Heating Company to give the young man a second chance. I'm sure that... Bob Mears and Sons Painting would have hired him.
No, I don't think Bob would. Bob's got very high standards.
He likes giving people a second chance.
Not if he's smart.
Eddie went to work with Montella Plumbing and Heating in Detroit in 1942. So the United States just getting involved in the war. There he met a woman. who would later become his wife, Antoinette Wincenski, who was also of American-Polish descent. She was working as a bookkeeper.
Was she working as a waitress in a cocktail bar?
Small cafe. She was working at... Oh, we did the same words for two different songs. You did Sweet... Was it Sweet? What's the name of that song?
Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Don't You Want Me, Baby. And I did The Legend of Bonnie and Clyde.
My song is better.
Yeah, probably so. Okay. So, anyway, Antoinette and young Eddie meet, and they were married on November 7, 1942, which is right before the holidays, Colonel.
Yep.
That year.
It's always lovely.
I bet she was pregnant before Christmas.
I don't think she was pregnant.
I bet they did it before Christmas.
Well, maybe. They probably did it before marriage. They lived with her parents, which, you know, Colonel, makes intercourse sometimes a bit difficult when you're living with your parents.
It depends.
Unless you're having intercourse with your parents, of course.
It depends on if she's a screamer or not.
It's true.
If she's a screamer, it makes it, you got to put a pillow over her head.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Now...
Your question for you, devil.
Damn it! What?
Just a question, and this is...
Is this having something to do with lesbianism?
No. Okay. No. Are you a screamer?
I don't want to talk about coitus.
Well, we're not. We're talking about sex.
We're talking about sex. Are you a screamer, though? I mean, just, you know, we're trying to...
We're trying to learn your...
Timmy and I, what we're trying to do is, you're here, you're one of the fairer sex.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to learn more about women, how to treat women.
And their genitalia.
And their genitalia, and their tingly parts. And, but you never want to help us out, so...
No, I enjoy watching the two of you flounder just a little bit.
So, do you scream during sex?
Not scream.
I scream my head off, by the way.
Oh, God.
I bang my... You know one time I banged my head on the nightstand in the middle of it?
I do know that. You told us that. It's disturbing
every
time.
Got four stitches, Timmy. And you know what?
Didn't stop you, did it?
Did not. The colonel finished the task at hand.
Well, you know... Neither rain nor snow.
Exactly.
So he's the
dark and night.
So he's the postman.
The colonel,
sex.
Postman. Yeah. He delivers. I'm like the UPS man or the postman. Or
he delivers.
If you want a package,
no,
I will deliver it.
Because the UPS man delivers joy. Chuck only delivers sorrow.
Well, answer his question, Brandy. Are you a screamer?
I don't know. I guess it just depends on what's going on.
Okay, what's it take to get you to scream?
Yeah, is there certain things that you think about?
Macy's.
Are there certain things you think about?
I was
during...
sticking a fork in the outlet.
Yeah.
Do you ever fantasize when you're in the middle of
lovemaking? Usually I fantasize I'm asleep.
No.
Do you ever pretend you're in a Game of Thrones when you're in the throes of passion?
No, I generally just want to be asleep.
I think of baseball.
Of course
you
do.
Yeah. Which is, you know, explains why I scream slide sometimes.
down.
Stay.
See, I pretend... I like to picture myself... I don't know why...
You're trying to keep your mind off of the deed so that you can make it more lasting.
And I'm more zen-like. I like to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be right in that moment.
So Chuck's tantric.
I'm tantric, yeah.
But here's the thing that you all don't understand is that, generally speaking, I will not speak for all women. I'm just saying the women that I know, a lot of them, we don't care. Get done so that we can go on to other things.
So basically get down and roll off of you.
Yeah. People got to sleep. The Tonight Show's on.
Yeah.
There's stuff happening. I got laundry to put.
You know, it seemed like in your situation, if you do it like a missionary style, and Dave kind of moves over a little bit, you can be able to watch TV.
Well, no, if you do it doggy style, you can both watch SportsCenter. Yeah.
We don't have cable in our bedroom.
No, that's a problem.
So you guys are really focused on the deed, then.
Yeah.
You don't. There ain't no messing around in there.
Eddie Slovak.
Yes, back to Eddie, please.
The war broke out, and of course the United States instituted a military draft, and because of Eddie's criminal record, he was given the classification of 4F, which of course means colonel.
Means you're not fit for
the draft. Active duty, right.
Active duty.
But shortly after the couple's first wedding anniversary, him and Annette's first wedding anniversary, things, you know, the war was going bad, right? This is 42, 43. Before
things were going bad in the Pacific, really bad.
Yeah. So, and they knew that, you know, the Army was going to eventually have to land in Normandy, right? So they needed guys. They needed
soldiers. Cannon fodder is what they needed.
They did. And so he was reclassified to 1A, which, of course, is means you're eligible.
Means you're the fittest motherfucker in the world.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Give him a gun and go kill somebody.
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel, picking up anyone who is, you know, physically capable of carrying a weapon. So Eddie was drafted, and Brandy's going to tell us what happens next.
So he was reluctant to join the military, but Eddie knew if he didn't fulfill his military obligations, he was going to be sent back to prison.
Right.
So he arrived at Camp Wolters in Texas.
Oh, was that named after you?
Wolters. It's named after W-O-L-T-E-R-S.
It was a misspelling. They were trying to.
E-R-S.
They forgot to put that little line in the granite, but it was my great, 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 great grandpappy.
No.
Colonel.
No.
Irwin.
Irwin, even.
L. Wolters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the Navy.
I don't have the shoes to deal with your bullshit today, so just simmer down.
She's
there a second.
A little bitter.
Yeah. He was known as Old Intestines.
Yeah. Old Blood and Intestines.
Bloody Anus.
Bloody Anus.
All right. Jesus God. All right. So he went to Camp Wolters, no relation to Charles Walters. In Texas for basic military training on January 24th, 1944. In August, he was dispatched to join the fighting in France. He arrived there on October 20th. He was one of 12 replacements assigned to Company G. I don't like being a replacement. That means shit going down.
I had a buddy who fought in Vietnam and
were you a draft dodger?
No, I wasn't. There was no war when I turned 18.
How the fuck old do you think he is, for Christ's sake?
Old enough.
No, when I turned 18, the Iranian hostage crisis occurred, and that's when they reinstituted, because they stopped the draft altogether for a while, and then they, in 1979, they instituted the registration, so I'm registered. I'm still registered. But
I'm registered with Selective
Service.
They
call me like every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. No, that's my opinion on
you're
things.
You're far too old.
No, they want that. Me for. I'm an idea man.
Is actually, my sure? brother,
I've
my
heard
brother,
that line of shit before too.
My brother. Okay. So he was drafted and he went for his physical and his next step was to wait for his orders to report, and that was 1973 and they ended the draft before he had to report. So he lucked out of it. But then they reinstituted the draft registration, which they have today. In 1979, and you had to go to the post office and fill out a little card, and that's what I did. But
that's an amazing story.
Well, they used to do it on TV. They pull these numbers out of this bowl, and
like bingo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they with a guy blindfolded and all. And
yeah,
it was weird.
My dad was in Nam.
Yeah, he was.
He doesn't talk about it.
My brother-in-law was in that 2 years.
I don't even know. Okay, so. Anyway, so he's the replacements assigned to Company G.
Oh, and that's what I was going to mention. I knew a guy who was in Vietnam, and his company, where he was stationed in California or wherever, they would get these casualty reports every week. Mm-hmm. And there was like this long list, like he was number 119. So every time they get this report and they'd have 14 casualties or whatever,
he'd move up the list,
waiting, you know, just waiting around to be sent to Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that sucks. Okay, so again, he's gone. He's in Company G of the 109th Infantry Regiment, U.S. 28th Infantry Division. While en route to his assigned unit, Eddie and Private John Tankey, a friend he met during basic training, took cover during an artillery attack and became separated from their replacement detachment.
Okay, so shit's going down.
They get separated from their friends.
Gotcha.
It was at this point, let's see, that Slovak stated he found out he wasn't cut out for combat.
Yeah, okay, I don't like this shit.
You know, I don't like being shot at.
No.
Because, you know, most people do.
Wait, you know what it's like? It's like pistachio ice cream.
It's not like that at all.
You either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Nobody likes being shot at. That's stupid.
Have you ever been shot at, Devil?
You know, I can neither confirm nor deny.
There's a certain adrenaline you get when you get shot at.
Because you're
victim hot.
Because you're running serpentine up and down a dirt road.
Yeah.
Avoiding artillery.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what you're yammering on about. Talking to shufflers here.
Well, let me tell you. I have been successful so far to avoid the knockout game, have I not?
Well, yeah.
You have, but only because you wear that big cap in the summer.
No way to mess with Eminem. If you walk like Eminem, they leave you alone.
I have been shot twice,
too. Oh, I'm cool like Eminem.
You've been shot twice. Easy 50 Cent.
I'm
50 Cent.
I'm Tim Shady.
Been shot twice.
I'm Tim Shady.
You're Tim Shady. All right. Okay. All right.
Let me tell you something real quick.
No!
Yeah, this happened to me. You know those old Crossman pump guns?
Yeah.
BB guns?
Yeah. Pellet guns.
I'm about 10 years old.
Did you shoot
old.
Your eye out?
No, my brother called me in, but instead of a BB, he had a lead pellet.
He had what?
He had a lead pellet in that.
Ooh,
it was pellet
guns, yeah.
He pumped it up about 125 times, calls me in. He's like, hey, Colonel, come in here.
Your brother called you Colonel?
My brother.
Even then, he knew he was bound for greatness.
Show him some respect.
Actually, I was a lieutenant then.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, he had faith in me. So I come running in the living room because, you know, you're the little brother, and anytime you're getting included in something, you're all excited about it, you know?
I mean, they could hurt just by shooting air on you.
Shot that son of a bitch, hit me right in the stomach.
It's like shooting a bullet in you.
It was. It went into my stomach. And somehow traveled straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about a quarter of an inch, maybe half inch, under the skin.
Uh-huh.
And it left this purple blood trail under the skin all the way up, damn near to my sternum.
Did your dead mother beat the shit out of him?
So my mother comes in.
God rest her soul.
She takes a razor blade, digs the pellet out, put some of that red stingy shit on there.
Mercurochrome.
Stung like a motherfucker. Took a shoe and beat my brother to death.
Your dead brother.
My dead brother, yeah. God rest his soul.
So it was
worth every penny of getting shot. So fast forward 20 years. My brother owns a business. It's a hardware flooring company.
10 minutes.
And I'm complaining because I got to meet him on a Saturday. I had a job and he's doing a hardware flooring. I'm like, come on, let's get out of here. And he's blah, 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 and I'm talking, I'm complaining. He shot me, you know those nail guns?
I do know nail guns.
He shot me with a nail gun.
Damn.
The sumbitch went into my calf so deep that it pinned they're shaped in a little L. They got a little hook at the top.
Uh-huh.
It pinned my jeans against my calf. And we had to get a pair of needle-nose pliers to pull this 1-inch staple or nail out of my damn calf.
You're lucky he didn't shoot you in the face with it.
You know, but with those pump BB guns, I mean, you could just like an air pistol. You can just shoot air and it hurts.
Oh yeah, no, he shot me. He could have killed me.
So you need a paintball gun.
So the colonel he's been wounded twice.
Yeah, he's like 50 Cent.
He's
45 Cent.
I ain't been shot 9 times. I think I give myself 30 cents.
25 Cent.
25 Cent.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus. All right.
Back to Eddie. Eddie Slovak.
So Eddie decides he's not cut out for combat.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah. So the next morning, they found a Canadian military police unit. So they found a Mountie.
You know what? I tell you what. If I was ever in combat and I was captured, I'd be talking like a motherfucker. I mean, you don't even have to twist my arm. You don't have to pull out my fingernails.
What do you want to know?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Just give me a sandwich. I'll tell you what you need to know.
Exactly.
But he remained with the Mounties for like 6 weeks. He stayed with them. He hung out with them. So I assume they just presume he was dead.
Well, yeah, I think it happened a lot where people got lost from their units, or companies or whatever.
But I ain't never lost my unit, Timmy.
Well, that's a good thing because, you know, they're hard to get back once you lose them.
His is warty, though.
Yeah.
Tanky wrote to their regiment to explain their absence, before he and Slovak reported to their unit for duty.
It's a unit and duty in the same sentence.
I know! On October 7th, 1944. The U.S. Army's rapid advance through France had caused many replacement soldiers to have trouble finding their assigned units.
It's very, I mean, you can't find your unit. Oh, man, that's a shock.
Or your assigned unit. I mean, what if you're getting somebody else's unit?
That's true.
But, you know, I've had nightmares where I couldn't find my unit. And I'd be waking up, and the first thing I do is reach for my unit.
I usually sleep with my hand on my unit, just so that can't happen.
I know a woman who holds her husband's unit while they sleep.
That makes sense.
Have you ever done that with Dave?
No.
I mean, I guess it's a bonding type of thing.
Yeah, I don't need to bond with anybody.
I'm just throwing it out there. Some people do that.
Well, some people do.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mrs. Colonel ties a rope around my unit. And it ties all the end to the bed.
Isn't your unit up escape. On the mantle in a jar?
Well, it's like Rasputin's. We like to show it off now and again.
Yeah. So, because they'd gone through France, because they just had all these people.
Right.
Evidently, people just running willy-nilly all over France.
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of that going on.
So they didn't file charges against these two dipshits that stayed with the Mounties for 6 weeks. So they didn't file charges against them.
Well, they needed the guys on the front. They figured they had a better chance, you know, more chance they're going to get
more
killed.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah.
So on October 8th, 1944, Eddie informed his company commander, Captain Ralph Grote.
And that name is important.
That he was too scared to serve in a frontline rifle company and asked to be reassigned to a rear area unit.
To North Carolina, please.
He wanted his unit in the rear?
That's what it says. Here's my thing with that, though.
There's probably 400,000 or 500,000 other men would probably have that same preference.
That are too scared. Dude, hold on. I'm scared.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yes. Yeah, if you could, hang on. Time out.
But if you get to get a choice, I mean, Timmy.
Yeah.
You got your choice. Wouldn't you want to have your unit in the rear?
You know, I'm not big.
You're against that.
I'm against the dirty flower. But if I had a choice in combat, whether I've been on the front lines or in the back, I want in the back. I want so far in the back. I want to be behind the generals.
What you're doing is you're protecting our home shores.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So this dipshit goes in and, you know, he wants to be reassigned to the rear unit. And he told this commanding officer that he would run away if he were assigned to a rifle unit.
I'm out of there like fucking...
Wait a minute. And asked his captain if that would constitute desertion.
Yes. Isn't a dirty word?
Well, yeah. Isn't that the definition of desertion?
Yeah.
So if I run away...
Technically, is that wrong?
Let's say if I'm running to the back. to the back unit.
This is some of Noah's logic. Yeah. This is Noah's logic.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Well, if you put me up there, I'm just going to run away.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What good does that do anyone? Put me in the back.
Yeah,
let me
cook. Well, just put me back there. Yeah. I can boil potatoes.
Yeah, I can.
So, of course, you know, Grody told him that, yeah, that constitutes
disorder. Pretty much the definition of it.
Yeah, dude, come on.
Pretty much coming into my camp and stealing. When you come in and take all my Hershey bars, that's actually stealing.
Well, and here's the thing.
Or Pop-Tarts, whatever.
You fuckers. So, but the thing is, I don't know, I guess he thought this was going to work for him.
Well, so, because so many people had done it.
Right. Well, you know, he kind of lucked out for not getting, you know, charged with desertion before.
Right. So really, this is like the second time.
Yeah,
this is why
he got to do this.
This is why you got to draw.
You got to send a message.
You got to send a message.
Yeah.
Well, he figured he had served time in the States, and everyone who was getting arrested for desertion, they were only serving time. They wasn't shooting them. So he figured, you know, I've done that. I know I can serve time. You know.
Right. So you know, of course, Grody just says, you know, no, nah, Baba, nah. You're going to send him back to his rifle platoon. The next day, on October 9th, Slovak deserted from his infantry unit. His friend, John Tanky, caught up with him and attempted to persuade him to stay, but Slovak's only comment was that his mind was made up.
Yeah, he probably figured he had a better chance of surviving the war in a prison, you know, in a prison cell than, you know, as an infantryman in France, and he probably was right, except it turned out that way.
And so now I'm going to give you the class move that Eddie tried to pull off that he thought would smooth this all over for him. So Eddie walked a couple miles to the rear unit, and approached an enlisted cook at a headquarters detachment and presented him with a note from his mother, not really, but a note that stated, "I, Private Eddie D. Slovak, to the desertion of the United States Army. At the time of my desertion, we were in Elbeuf, in France. I came to Elbeuf as a replacement. They were shelling the town, and we were told to dig in for the night. The following morning, they were shelling us again. I was so scared, nervous, and trembling that at the time the other replacements moved out, I couldn't move. I stayed there in my foxhole till it was quiet and I was able to move. I then walked into town. Not seeing any of our troops, so I stayed overnight at a French hospital. The next morning, I turned myself over to the Canadian Provost Corps. After being with them for 6 weeks, I was turned over to American MPs. They turned me loose. I told my commanding officer my story. I said that if I go out there again, I'd run away. Signed, Private Eddie D. Slovak."
Yeah, that's probably was the problem. He was too upfront about it. He probably could have just...
Yeah, he's a little bold.
Yeah, I mean, he was just trying to be, you know, he was trying to be upfront, saying, "Look, I'm not going to do this. Go ahead and arrest me." When, you know, he probably could have just, you know, found a little French town and hung out till the war was over and then claimed he was, you know, a prisoner or something. No one would have known. There's so much chaos going on.
Well,
he just thought, I'll go ahead and, you know, turn myself in and get sent, you know, sent to the stockade or whatever.
Kind of jackass. So you're going to give him this note and then they're going to be like, oh, okay.
Well, no, I think his thinking was that he was going to get a jail sentence.
So the cook summoned his company commander and an MP who read the note and told Eddie to destroy it before he was taken into custody. And since Eddie makes all good decisions, he refused to do that.
Right.
Eddie was brought before Lieutenant Colonel Ross Henbest, who again offered him the opportunity to tear up the note, return to his unit, and face no further charges. Slovak again refused. Dumbass. Henbest ordered Eddie to write another note on the back of the first one stating he fully understood the legal consequences of deliberately incriminating himself with the note and that it would be used as evidence against him in a court-martial.
Yeah, he's all down for the court-martial. I mean, he knows he's going to get court-martialed, and, you know, thinking that he'll get a prison sentence.
Yeah, but all these people are trying to help him.
They're trying to cut him a break.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck that, I'm not going back to the front. And
I don't think he's bright.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say if you're in that situation, you're seeing, but, you know, lives are pretty cheap during that conflict, so, I mean, I don't know. And he's probably thought he was making a strategic decision, just, you know, since he knows his, he already has a criminal record back in the States, and he knows that's going to follow him around. So, you know, why get blowed up on a landmine in south of France when he could be just sitting in the war out in a prison cell, something that he was already accustomed to. I mean, I think he was making a logical decision. It's just that it didn't turn out the way he planned.
Well, let's see.
The consequences were greater than expected.
Yes. Yes.
So, Eddie was taken into custody, and he was taken to the division stockade. The divisional judge advocate, Lieutenant Colonel Henry Summer, offered Eddie a third and final opportunity to rejoin his unit in exchange for the charges against him being suspended. He also offered Slovak to a different infantry regiment where no one would know of his past and he could start with a clean slate. Still, Eddie said nope. He was convinced he would only serve jail time. And, you know, that was better than combat. So he told him, no, I've made up my mind. I'll take my court-martial. No U.S. soldier had been executed for desertion since the Civil War. From the fate of other deserters, Eddie figured that the worst he was going to be faced with was about 20 years hard labor. Eddie also believed that since the war was winding down, he would likely be paroled early, perhaps shortly after the war ended. Of the 40,000 U.S. service members evaded combat during World War II, most were tried by lesser court-martial, but 2,864 cases were heard by general court-martial and received sentences from 20 years to death. While 49 death sentences were approved, only Slovak's was carried out.
Well, that don't seem fair. It seems like selective prosecution.
Maybe it was based Darwinism. Because he was such a dick.
Well, and I think I think too it was the time where, you know, it was the Battle of the Bulge was going on. They knew they were going to invade Germany, and they, you know, they had to make an example of somebody. They couldn't let all these guys start deserting. And
I got no pity for the man, because, you know, no. Timmy, well, if there's anything the colonel can't abide, it's a coward.
Yeah, but read on, because he was pretty stoic at the end.
Well, he was charged with desertion to avoid hazardous duty and tried by court-martial on November 11th, 1944. Slovak had to be tried by a court-martial composed of staff officers from other U.S. Army divisions because all combat officers from the 28th Infantry
were busy.
They were fighting on the front lines. They were getting their asses shot off.
Yeah, you probably don't want someone who's getting their ass shot off every day to be on that panel.
Yeah.
You know, they probably have a bias.
Now, the prosecutor, Captain John Green, mm-hmm. Captain Hanging John Green, presented witnesses to whom Eddie Slovak had stated his intention to run like a sumbitch out of here. Or run away, mm-hmm. in Eddie's words. Mm-hmm. Run like the Weasley coward that I am.
Run like the wind, bullseye.
So, the defense counsel, Captain Edward Hardwoods, announced that Slovak had elected not to testify. So, the 28th Division had seen many cases of soldiers wounding themselves or deserting in the hopes of a prison sentence that would at least protect them from the penis of combat.
You couldn't even try a clinger for a little while to see if that worked out for you?
Okay, yeah. You got a little typo in your script. That's the perils of combat. Yeah. To me, you put penis of combat there.
I did not
there.
Put penis on there.
Anyway...
You're inserting dirty...
So before the court-martial began, a legal officer of the 28th offered Slovak a deal. Mm-hmm. Dive into combat immediately and avoid the court-martial.
Jesus, God.
Slovak should have took that last deal.
And said, you might as well take out your pistol and shoot me now because I ain't going back there.
Okay.
So he was tried, mm-hmm. for desertion and convicted in less than 2 hours. They didn't, because they're in the Army, they don't get the lunch vouchers, right. So they don't want to waste any time.
Well, that and they already had a note.
Yeah. And they did have a note. The 9-officer court-martial passed a unanimous sentence, execution, to be shot to death with musketry.
Mm. Musketry sucks.
Musketry is a tough way to go.
It really is.
I mean, they could have stabbed him, hung him, electrocuted him, lethal injection, bitten by a rattlesnake.
You know, in Germany, they had one of the options for their death penalty back pre World War II was starvation. Now, that's a motherfucking.
That's a way to go.
Yeah,
I'll take starvation because it'd take me and you a long time.
Yeah.
I could probably get a new president and a pardon by the time I started up.
You'd outlive the warden.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the sentence was reviewed and approved by the division commander, Major General Norman Coda.
Schwarzkopf. Oh,
yeah.
General Coda's stated attitude was, given the situation as I knew it in November, I thought it was my duty to this country to approve that sentence. If I hadn't approved it, if I had let this little weasel accomplish his purpose, don't know how I could have gone to the line and looked a good soldier in the face.
You couldn't have.
Now, on December 9, Eddie wrote a letter to General Dwight D. Eisenhower pleading for clemency.
Eddie is a letter-writing motherfucker.
Yeah, now the timing was bad for Mercy. The Battle of the Bulge in the Ordnance Forest was going on right that minute. Mm-hmm. Thousands of American casualties were happening. Not to mention the second largest surrender of an American Army unit during the war.
Unit.
Desertion had become a systemic problem in France, and the surprise German offensive through the mountains began on December 16, 1944, with severe U.S. casualties. Pocketing several battalions and straining the morale of the infantry to the greatest extent seen during the war.
Yeah, so they were up
there. So Eisenhower was in no mood for his nonsense.
Shenanigans.
So he decided it was necessary to discourage further desertions.
I would.
The sentence came as a shock to Slovak, who'd been expecting a dishonorable discharge and maybe some prison time. Figured maybe a couple lashes, whatnot. Thought he'd get thrown in the stockade.
You know what the Russians used to do?
Well, the Russians, if you were in the front line, the guys behind you, if you retreated, they shot you.
Yeah. Now, they had special units to set up behind the line to shoot anybody
moving backwards.
Yeah.
Not deserters. If you just retreated a little bit.
Yeah.
You went backwards 5 feet to get a better position, they shot your ass down.
Mm-hmm. Russia is known for all of its, you know, cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now already an ex-con, a dishonorable discharge would have made a little impact on Eddie's life. And military prison terms for discipline officers were expected to be commuted once war was over.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, he was playing the odds.
He wrote one of his last letters to his wife that he had always been unlucky, except for when he married her. And he should have known that turn for the better would not last.
That's nice.
Which, you know what? He's probably right. Mm-hmm. Because I married Mrs. Colonel. You've been married. Dave married you and thought, oh, this is great. It didn't last.
It is great for Dave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do not believe that, devil. I believe the living.
It is great.
I wonder what if Dave had a choice of remaining married or the firing squad, what he would choose. Dave, you think he'd be writing a letter?
Dave always has a choice.
He'd take the rattlesnake bite.
Dave always has a choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eddie reportedly told the MPs who led him from the caretaker shelter that he had been chosen as an example because of his criminal record. See, he was playing the ex-convict card. They're shooting me for the bread and chewing gum I stole when I was 12 years old.
Yes, they are. Yes. Couldn't be the note that you're writing there, John Steinbeck.
Well, and he also added that they're making an example out of me.
Yes.
Now, the execution by firing squad was carried out at 10:04 near the village of Saint-Marie-aux-Mines. Twelve hand-picked soldiers.
You know, you're kind of sexy when you use those French words.
Saint-Marie-aux-Mines.
And that fake southern accent.
that is not a fake about my southern accent, sir. You offend me deeply.
Good Lord.
Now, 12 hand-picked soldiers were detailed for the firing squad from 109th Regiment. These guys were all known as poor shots. We're going to probably hit him in the knee with the musket, but that's why they were chosen.
Really? They were chosen because they were poor shots?
No, he's making that up.
The weapons used were standard issue M1 rifles with just one bullet for each rifle.
Yeah, definitely.
One rifle was loaded with a blank, so that no one would know for sure which of the executioners would fire the fateful shot.
Yeah.
So you got 10 guys.
I got that.
Nine of them got blanks. Or no, one of them got a blank.
You got 12, right?
Why give the one guy a blank?
Well, because
doesn't know he's got a blank.
Yeah.
No, I know, but why give the one guy... Why wouldn't you give the one guy one bullet and everybody else get a blank? Why do you have this one motherfucker with a blank?
Because this some bitch got to look like ground beef when you're done with it.
Well, but why do you give that one motherfucker a blank? Why don't you just give him a bullet?
I think they do.
Because what does it matter?
I think they do that.
It's so that you don't think, so that you have an out in your mind that I may have not been the guy who killed him.
I understand that.
She's saying that.
You do the same thing with a bullet. Why would you load one gun with a blank?
Because maybe the guy misses or something. Where you're sure to kill him. I understand what you're saying. I think...
You're saying give 11 blanks and one bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, you got to hit him in the hook 4 times.
Or don't give any blanks at all.
That's just cruel.
And shoot him in the head.
God, what is... Jesus.
You know, Gary Gilmore, when he was assassinated, I think they did exactly what you're saying. I think everyone had a blank but one person... And they shot at his heart,
and then
no one knew if they were the one who actually killed him or not. But in this case, they had 11 people with bullets and one with a blank.
And one with a
well, because everyone could justify maybe I wasn't the one to kill him.
No, I understand that.
Right.
But why do you have this one motherfucker with a blank?
Why don't you get to
what does it matter?
Here's why we're having a hard time getting this through to you. Some people have feelings.
Yes.
Some people have feelings. See, not everybody is as cold.
But the guy with the blank doesn't know he has a blank, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Nobody knows who. That's the whole purpose.
Okay. Cock holster closed.
Have you seen the pizza thing
on
the thing?
Listen to me.
I can't eat 8 pieces. If you had a pizza.
I have seen that. Listen to me, because you're clearly not understanding me.
I'm not getting that pizza reference at all.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. You have all these guys with bullets.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of them has a blank.
Yes.
Okay. Because you don't want anybody to know that they've shot him.
Right.
But the guy with the blank doesn't know he has a blank, so he will still think,
I shot him. The odds are that you're the one.
All the guys can think, maybe I didn't shoot him.
Yeah.
But why do you give one guy a blank?
Why not give 6 of them a blank and 6 of them?
Why not give them all a bullet? Why would you give one guy a blank?
Because they were trying to be they didn't want to traumatize their consciousness.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, because the guy still thinks that he could have shot that guy or not shot him.
Well, you're a half empty type of person.
No, he's still thinking.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter if the guys think there's a blank in there, but there's no blank. Why don't you just get one guy a fucking mortar cannon and just blow his ass back into Texas?
You can do that. No, what I'm saying is if you've got 12 guys on a firing squad, give every fucking one of them a bullet. Nobody still knows who shot the guy. Why are you giving one lonely son of a bitch that doesn't even know he has a blank? Because it makes no difference to him. He doesn't know he's got a blank.
Well, we're not going to resolve this today.
See, Timmy, there was this girl.
Yeah.
And she says... Her boyfriend says to her, she's getting a pizza.
I get the pizza thing. And you don't have to explain it right now. Well, you don't have to explain it right now. I get the pizza thing. But I don't understand why... The thinking is all the same with all of these guys, whether you have a blank or a bullet, because they don't know if they have a bullet.
Right.
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 Okay.
We're with you.
So why would you... give out a blank?
Because everyone
can sleep at night to think maybe
mine was a blank.
So they know somebody has a blank.
Yes.
But they're not sure who it is.
Exactly.
Well, it's still ignorant, but all right, it makes more sense.
And didn't we say that?
fuck?
No,
it's like when you're having sex with multiple partners. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
And one guy is shooting blanks, and then you get pregnant by
a live one. And all the guys are talking about, I don't think it was me, because I wore a condom.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, we're going to do something you can relate to.
Yeah, we'll put this in
a parable that you might understand.
How did this develop? How did this develop into slamming me when you're the one that goes round the world with every skank that walks the earth?
Yeah. Now, and you're there. Now, this one, now he was with the loveliest woman I've
ever. Yes, yes, yes.
This time.
This time. In Thailand, you're with some skanks.
Yeah, this is skanks in Thailand.
I mean, let's not.
But not the lovely Clara.
It's not pretty.
But Clara's fine.
Clara's a princess.
Yes, she is.
Let's not.
She's
fine.
She's a caramel.
Oh my
Colombian
god.
Colombian princess.
Okay.
A caramel.
But
goddess.
The point is, yes, Brandy, it was so that the soldiers who took part in that could justify, in their mind, they could say, perhaps the shot I fired was
because
a blank.
They knew they had a blank.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Everyone knew that someone had a blank.
That was not conveyed.
Okay, well, obviously.
So you don't want to sit here and call me a whore because you didn't convey the right thing.
I did
call me a whore.
I'm just saying that Charles sometimes is not as articulate as we would like for him to
be. I think I was pretty goddamn good.
Lucky he can form sentences.
She was the one that couldn't do the math.
No, I did the math just fine.
All right, Colonel, what else
happened? You're the one who was in the whole multiple partner thing. It didn't have nothing to do with me. Not everybody gets a big boner from thinking they might have killed somebody like you do.
Yeah,
that's all we're saying. So they put one blank in there and to say, maybe you didn't do it, and the guy puts his head on the pillow at night. He doesn't have to come to the Colonel Church for absolution.
Again, like you, I don't get a boner at all.
You don't get a boner?
Like you, I get no boner at all.
Well, you are the face of impotence.
Yeah.
See? I had a penis transplant. So... So anyway, those who attended the execution marveled at how stoic Eddie's demeanor was as he was led to his death.
You know what? If I was Eddie, I would write a letter and say,
well, yeah.
I don't want to go through with this execution.
Can I just go to the rear here? Can I go to the back? Yeah.
Need another letter.
Now, one of those witnesses was a young Army Lieutenant Nick Gozik.
Mm-hmm.
Gozik is now 95. And says, I don't remember fuck about it.
No, that's not true.
Years old.
What did he say?
He had a crystalline... That's a nice word.
You like that?
He had a crystalline memory of being summoned to the headquarters as a new officer with a battlefield commission and then loaded...
A lot of times I dummy these scripts down for you guys to read.
Yeah, well, crystalline, that's pretty nice. And then he loaded his men into trucks, driven through the wet, heavy snow to the sound of... to the town of St. Marie Osmise.
Do you get turned on when he says
no, I don't.
Jesus,
come on.
I don't get turned on by much of anything he does.
tell me you're not a little tingly there, don't
no.
You know you are. You can admit it to the listeners. You're
no.
A little tingly.
My stomach's starting to feel funny, though.
I think team Brandy's probably all quivering now.
Quivering all jelly-ish.
Yeah, yeah, they'll probably jump over to team Colonel after they hear your French.
St. Marie Osmise. Ladies.
After you hear his southern French.
Yeah. I'm from the south of France.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
From Nice. Nice, motherfucker. He'd be from Nice.
Wow-wee.
They were directed to a schoolroom for a time, and then they were marched across a small wooden bridge over a stream that ringed a walled estate. Beyond the iron gate, they entered a courtyard. They were called to attention and stood with no idea why they were there.
Jeez.
After a short time, two military policemen escorted a young man from a caretaker's shed. His uniform had been stripped of all insignia. He had an army blanket on his shoulders. He was bareheaded, Gozik recalled. The man and the MP started toward the wooden post, and Gozik understood that his unit was there to witness an execution. Gozik would have expected the MPs to have been required to drag the condemned man and for him to be struggling, kicking, and screaming. Instead, Eddie's step was absolutely even, unhesitating as he took what he knew to be his final strides. All I could see was a young soldier, blonde hair, walking straight as a soldier ever walked, Gozik recalled. I thought he was the bravest soldier I ever saw. Gozick watched his MPs use garrison belts to tie the condemned man to the pole. A Catholic chaplain approached the man, and Gozick saw it was the same priest who had sometimes said mass for his unit. Gozick was only some 10 yards away, close enough to make out much of what the priest and the man were saying. It sounded like they were praying that Hail Mary, Gozick recalled. Then I thought I heard the priest say, "When you get there, say a good word for me, will you?" Because he was a priest. Nobody mm-hmm. knows what he was liable to have done. So anyway.
That's awful. Huh? That's awful.
Well, then the condemned man said, "I will, Father." Eddie's head was covered with a satiny black hood that the army had asked a local woman to make. They didn't tell her what it was for. Now, a general read aloud the order that a private was to be executed for desertion. A young officer loaded the rifles at a 12-man firing squad with a single bullet, one with a blank. The squad took position, and the officer called out, "Ready, aim, fire." On a command of fire, Slovak was hit by 11 bullets, at least 4 of them being fatal, which is kind of bullshit because only one of them can be fatal.
Well, I guess they're saying.
Once you get hit with the first fatal one, the other ones are kind of redundant.
Yeah. Waste of bullets.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Unless you, you know, like the devil over here, you want to see him get 138 rounds. Why you gotta give him a blank? Shoot that motherfucker 45 times. Why? Yeah. But anyway, the wounds range from...
Let's see how yours goes.
High in the neck region, out to the left shoulder, over the left chest, and under the heart. One bullet was in the upper left arm. That motherfucker was a terrible shot. He was only 10 yards away with a rifle. An army physician quickly determined Slovak had not been immediately killed.
Yeah, he survived 11 shots.
Just as the firing squad's rifles were being reloaded in preparation for another volley, but before the reloading was complete...
Now, this is what I take exception in. You get a death sentence, they shoot you. If they don't kill you, I say you get a pass.
It's like the rope breaking when
you
hang.
Yeah, and you should get a pass.
You should get a pass. But before the rifles were loading the rifles were complete, Private Slovak died. He was 24 years old. The execution took 15 minutes. Eddie Slovak was buried in a remote corner of a cemetery in France, along with 95 other American soldiers who had been executed. These for rape or murder. All the graves marked with only a number. Eddie's grave marker is hidden from view by shrubbery and bears sequential numbers instead of names, making it impossible to identify them individually without knowing the key. With the book about Eddie's execution published in 1960, Frank Sinatra bought the movie rights and announced plans to produce and direct it himself. Little known story, Timmy.
About you and Blue Eyes?
Me and Blue Eyes. My middle name is Albert. I am Charles Albert Walters.
Okay.
The reason I'm Charles Albert and the 7 men before me were all Charles William Walters mm-hmm. is because my father was a huge fan of Frank Sinatra.
We can call him Fat Albert.
And he wanted to name me. He wanted to name me Francis Albert.
That is the best present ever.
Yeah, when I introduced
my
him,
mom would not allow it. So they compromised and named me Charles Albert.
Okay.
So
that is fascinating. But what was Albert to do with Frank Sinatra?
Well, the press got word that Sinatra had hired a blacklisted screenwriter.
No, wait a minute. I'm getting back to you. You were named Albert because he was a fan of
Frank
Sinatra. Okay, is Frank's middle name Albert?
Francis Albert Sinatra.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they compromised, and my mom did not like Francis.
Okay.
So she compromised.
It would have been great if his name was Francis.
Oh, my God.
Little Frankie.
He's Fat
Colonel
Albert.
Frankie.
He's Fat Albert as it is. It's spectacular.
That's hurtful.
But Francis. You psychos call me Francis.
Don't call me Francis. Lighten up, Francis. So Sinatra vowed not to back down in the face of the ensuing uproar. But Joseph Kennedy Sr. reportedly called Sinatra and voiced concern that his son's friendship with the singer might make voters think that John Kennedy was soft on communism and cost him the presidential election.
Yeah,
so
because
Sinatra shelved the project.
Yeah, this is when Hollywood was under attack for anti-American activities, and he was hiring that.
And he hired a blacklisted screenwriter to do all this.
Right.
Now, Antoinette
Slovak.
Wife.
Yeah, his wife.
petitioned Ami for her husband's remains and pension until her death.
You know, she was just told that he had died in Europe. They didn't tell her. They didn't tell her he was executed.
They didn't tell her what happened
until later on. Yeah,
that's some shit.
So his case was taken up in 1981 by former Macomb County prosecutor or commissioner Bernard V. Kalka.
They wanted to get his body back to Detroit.
Yeah, Polish-American World War II veteran who continued to petition Army to return Slovak's remains to the United States. By 1987, he had persuaded President Ronald Reagan to order their return. 1 week later, President Ronald Reagan forgot that he issued said order because he had Alzheimer's disease.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
I know, but it's funny.
You know he did.
You know what Ronald Reagan had for breakfast?
He doesn't know.
He don't know either. So anyway,
God rest his soul.
You are not good people.
He was dug up and sent back home in 1987. Exhumed. He was exhumed. The exhumation and transfer was finally approved in 1987. Eddie's bad luck briefly reasserted itself when his remains were put on the wrong plane and ended up in the rear unit in San Francisco.
Well, that's where he always wanted to be.
Because in San Francisco, everything ends up in the rear unit.
Terrible.
That was a good one.
Timmy enjoys San Francisco.
I like San Francisco, a lovely city. And Stephanie Q lives out in that area.
Oh, Stephanie, yes. Now, Eddie finally arrived in Detroit 2 days later and was laid to rest beside his wife at Detroit's Woodmere Cemetery.
Yeah, she died before his body could be sent back to the U.S.
The commissioner raised $8,000 to pay for this in the transfer. Now, before Eddie's death, Antoinette and others petitioned seven U.S. presidents, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, for a pardon, but none was granted. In militaries around the world, court-martials have imposed death sentences for offenses such as cowardice, desertion, insubordination, and mutiny. I think these are all things we are very, very, me and you are very likely to have if we're
every damn one of them.
Yeah, mutiny.
Oh,
cowardice, desertion, insubordination.
Damn right.
That's like those are some of the key words on my resume.
I was gonna say, those are words that come to mind when I think of you. Yeah. You know, if you're playing the
word association.
Yeah, word association Chuck, games. Yeah.
Insubordination, Chuck. Cowardice, Chuck. Mutiny,
Chuck.
So anyway. In France during World War I from 1917 to 18, the United States executed 35 of its own soldiers, but all had been convicted of rape or unprovoked murder of civilians, not for military offenses.
Now, can you only do mutiny on a boat?
Nope.
We can mutiny anywhere.
You can mutiny on a tank. You can mutiny
anywhere. You can mutiny on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You would be shot.
Although, you know what, we was just looking back at an old post, how you was bad-mouthing me and Brandy, and we was close to mutinying then.
Yeah, called himself Lord Michaels of all
things. Lord Michaels of the podcast, yeah.
And
you said I could not hold a Horatio's jock, I believe is what you said.
Horatio Sands.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
During World War II and all theaters of war, the United States executed 102 of its soldiers. But again, they were all for rape, pillaging, looting, criminal offenses. Yeah. Now, Colonel Robert Bard of the Judge Advocate General's Office noted that of the 2,800 Army personnel tried for desertion for the second period, January 1942 through June 1948, 49 were convicted and sentenced to death, and 48 of those sentences were voided by a high authority. And who do you think that high authority was? It was a Jesus Lord Christ above.
No, I think it was probably the...
when I'm talking about
Chief
high authority,
of Staff of the...
I am talking with...
American Armed Forces.
I'm talking about the relationship I have with Jesus, Timmy.
Okay, what else?
That's pretty much it. We got 19... Oh, it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The book was adapted for a movie starring Martin Sheen,
mm-hmm.
who did a great job in that movie.
What movie is it?
The
Execution of Private Slovak.
Yeah.
Now, Military Service Record of Slovak, which is now
TV.
A public archive record available from the Military Personnel Record Center,
and on
provides
Amazon.
A detailed account of the actual execution of Slovak, which took place in 1945, and it was upon this that most of the film was based.
There's photos of his execution, not video, but there's photos of his shortly after his execution on the internet, if you're so inclined.
An old man that we talked about.
Yeah, the guy, the witness.
Nick, in 2010, made a pilgrimage to the cemetery on Veterans Day, and he placed an American flag on the grave of the man he said was still the bravest soldier he ever saw.
Eddie Slovak.
Well, he must have been senile, because that man was chicken shit.
Well, he was like 85 years old.
We were 95 at the time. But anyway, he took his punishment stoically. It was selective prosecution.
Well, but that is what you... That's the risk you run.
Well, I know that. But, you know, there were a lot of... there's a book called The Deserters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about guys who deserted during World War II.
No shit.
And they... some of these guys were like gangsters, man. They really took advantage of, like, war-torn France and stealing and raping and pillaging and
looting.
Yeah. But the only one to be executed was your friend... Private Eddie Slovak. Colonel, where can people find us?
People can find us everywhere. Now, of course, we'll be headlining the Pitchfork Music Festival up in Chicago.
No, we're not.
Okay, we're going to be making a guest appearance on Saturday Night Live.
No, we're not doing any of those things. No.
Brandy, okay. Where can people find us? Because obviously he doesn't know.
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two Facebook pages, History Dweebs, that covers the history... Real History,
mm-hmm.
and also History Dweeb, the podcast that covers a lot of nonsense. So, and,
yes.
But it's a fun page.
Yes. So
we ask that you join us there.
Yeah, and really, you could... Oh, iTunes.
Yes. Oh, did you iTunes. Come up with that? There you go.
Well, Timmy forgot it. iTunes, leave us a review.
We were still doing it.
Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. That's how people find us.
We have decided... most of the complaints we get are...
About you?
From one or two things. They're from people just, for whatever reason, don't seem to like the devil over here.
Well,
I mean, she comes across as nasty, cold, and mean.
Dead weight is what I've heard.
And dead weight, yeah. I mean, a drag on the show, whatever.
Mm-hmm. What?
There's not really a whole lot we can do about that.
I'm delightful.
You can't change people's personality.
You can't. I mean, a leopard ain't going to change its spots, and mm-hmm. a cobra ain't going to change its little hoodie neck thing.
Mm-hmm. My little hoodie neck thing.
Your little hoodie neck thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we can't do that, but we decided people complain about the sound.
Yeah.
So we're going to be working on that because we're right now using a condenser microphone that we thought, I listen to these podcasts, I find the sound fine. Now, if you're an audiophile, I don't know.
There's nothing worse than an audiophile except a pedophile.
Wow. I don't know that I think the audio file's worse.
Really?
I think they really are.
I don't know.
Because when they talk about the sound quality,
mm-hmm.
we're in somebody's office with a $100 microphone.
Yeah, but we're working on that. We're going to...
We're not in the studio.
Yeah, we're not in the studio. This is an NPR, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
So, but we thought maybe we would work on that.
And before we close, Colonel, let's talk about this whole concept of the kangaroo with the three vaginas.
It's a you know what?
Really? Because I told you that.
What's that?
The kangaroo has three vaginas.
Yeah, you did.
You didn't think about the possibilities. I mean, it's like I think women should have two vaginas
at least.
What?
One. For,
why is this still?
One for having babies, and one for not having babies.
No, three. One for having babies, mm-hmm. one for doing their disgusting duty.
Yeast infections and whatnot.
Yeah, urinating.
So you get the yeast infections in the one vagina.
Yeah.
No, because they could get that in a baby vagina, because you ain't using that one no more.
And that's true. You could urinate through that one as well.
Yeah. So two vaginas.
Fuck.
One is clean.
Two vaginas, one's clean.
What is wrong
We don't
with
care
the
what you do with
you.
The other one.
Listen, let me, I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to go ahead and stop you there because we're not going to talk about vaginas. You don't know that much about vaginas. You don't know enough about vaginas.
But we're trying to
learn.
You
don't know enough about a single vagina.
I've seen
to talk about, let alone talk about multiple vaginas. So we're going to stop there. You all can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. And you can find us on Facebook.
Why she always got
and
a shortest
show? And on Twitter.
And on Twitter.
At
sometimes
History Waves 1.
Sometimes
Tim
tweets.
Have you noticed what a buzzkill she can be?
Yes. Sometimes Tim tweets.
I'm not often tweeting.
I mean, just think
show,
about it. The perfect woman, you got two vaginas. No. When the baby comes out, it's all wore out and whatnot, got 100,000 miles on it. And then the other one is like when you met him.
I think a while ago we had a momentum of stealing when you was giving your talking in your French accent. You had the momentum going where all those people on Team Brandy was going to slide over to you because they were all excited. Mm-hmm. But I think now they're kind of, you know, they're leaning back toward Team Brandy because you're talking about the Malta, the ripped up vagina.
The what?
You know, the distorted vagina.
The worn out vagina?
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, it's a vagina mafia. So, and they could double their membership in one day.
It's not vagina mafia.
Shh.
Brandy, any final thoughts?
Shh. I have a big bag of shish over here for you.
Any final thoughts?
No, thank you. I'm done thinking.
Have a delightful weekend.
You as well.
Thank you. I will enjoy Chicago.
Oh, you will not be here tomorrow, will you?
Yeah, I'll be here for a very short time. So you can give me the information and the free tickets to the music festival
tomorrow. I can.
Okay.
Wonderful. I can.
Say goodbye, Colonel.
You listeners have a lovely day, and I think we're on to something. We'll talk about this dual vagina thing.
Yeah.
It should be an option that comes with
we're
women.
Not ever going to talk about this.
Yes.
Ever. Again.
You know, if you had one and you put it on
Kangaroo's got three.
Like on your dating profile, you get a lot
of hits. You get all kinds of. If you were on Tinder, you'd be getting a right swipe all the time.
What
with
the
two
hell
vaginas.
Kind of fetish is that? I'm into women with multiple vaginas.
Well, that's.
And two sets of tits.
Woohoo! You know what? Two sets, that's too many. You only need three. In a perfect woman, you would have three.
You only have two hands.
I know, but you dive face down and you got your hands on one side and your face in the middle.
The colonel is doing some, is demonstrating this as he speaks.
I'm so damaged.
Okay, so thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Tweet.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.